Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello, it's great to welcome you today to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. Thank you for joining me. Today, my guest is Adam Chatterley, and he is a beauty business expert. And it's a great pleasure to have Adam here today, as not only was he one of my own business coaches a while back, but he's also really knowledgeable on so many things. His specialty is teaching independent beauty business owners and managers how to have more of everything. And these principles he talks about can be very widely applied. And when I say everything, I mean like more clients, more bookings, more revenue, more stability, and of course, more time. And then obviously that leads to more results. So Adam, welcome to this week's podcast. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Caro. It's great to be on. Thank you for having me.
Good. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you here because you are so knowledgeable. And I know that you're the founder and host of a number one rated industry podcast all about creating thriving businesses, cunningly titled the Beauty Business Podcast. So I've been very lucky to actually have been featured on one of your episodes, and it was a real pleasure to be on.
You have.
So let's dive into your background.
Yeah,
because I know that personally you've opened and operated and supported over 450 spas in 27 different countries. I mean, that's absolutely incredible to have that breadth of knowledge and experience. And now that you're working as a coach and a consultant in the wellness industry, tell us where it all started. How did it begin for you?
How long have you got? The story really started, and I think this is a theme, I think, that when I was doing some notes for this episode, it's kind of been coming up again and again. And I realized, probably going all the way back to the beginning, I've been a little bit lazy in terms of how I operate. I've always tried to find, whether on purpose or accidentally, the easier route to do everything. And I've realized this is now a superpower, but I'll tell you why I'm saying that. When I was at university and like all my friends were kind of working bar jobs and low paid jobs that were very, very hard work, I thought that seems like a lot of work for me. So I went and got a job working at the local country club, which had a golf course. And I went there and I was selling memberships. So, you know, I had quite an easy day hanging out in a golf course, selling memberships to people who wanted to come and join this golf course. And that's what I did through university. And I finished university and didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I was going for interviews at these big consulting firms like Pricewaterhouse and stuff like that with, you know, 300 other carbon copy students who just come out of doing a management degree. And I was like, I don't really want to do that, but I don't really know what I want to do. And this guy ended up joining the golf club and we were chatting as we were playing the first round of golf. And it turned out he owned a software company that built software systems to run golf clubs. But the problem they had was they were all techies and they didn't actually know what really happened within a golf club. So I ended up going to work for him as their sort of in-house operation / technical person to kind of bridge the gap between what their system needed to do and how to make it do it from a technical point of view. And it was just a happy accident and it worked out quite well. But at the time, they were really the only software system that was out there for golf courses. So they had all the big golf courses that you could name. And these same golf courses were starting to open these things called spas. And nobody had any clue how these worked. And there were no systems available to run these. So I ended up getting shipped off to Gleneagles for 3 months to learn how spas work, to come back and tell the developers how to build this software to create booking systems for them. And from that, that's how I got into working with spas. And I then was shipped out to Dubai and various places around the world to go and install these systems in these spas, which is how I got to work with so many spas and salons and clinics and so many amazing managers and consultants and all these incredible people who, you know, these big companies bring in to start up these incredible businesses. And then somewhere along the way, I realized actually it wasn't the software that I loved. It was the thrill of starting these businesses and then helping them grow, get the clients they needed and become profitable and then make more money. That's what I really got the kick out of. So, you know, fast forward a bunch of years, I sort of waved goodbye to the software side of things as much as I could and went into the helping these businesses just to make money. I guess I became probably the earlier version of what's now called a revenue manager. But then I started to realize I wanted to do this for more independent people because the corporates could afford these $1,000 a day consultants. I wanted to help, you know, the people who probably needed it more. So that's when I transitioned over to helping independents. Now I only work with independents, don't work with any corporates at all. And I absolutely love it. I've transitioned myself over from being what I consider to be the consultant role, which is kind of going in and doing the work, to now being the coach role, which is where I go in and help the owner, operator, understand what they need to do, teach them what they need to do, and then kind of set them on the way, hopefully, with those tools to be able to keep doing it themselves.
That's so interesting. And when did you make that transition from being employed into becoming self-employed yourself? Did you do that quite a long time ago?
Yeah. In fact, it's one of those weird dates that seems to be stuck in my head. It was May 2006 that I actually decided to go out on my own. Very much with the arrogance of youth, have to say, I was doing some consultancy for a company that I was working for, and I was 27 at the time, and I had that arrogance of going, I could do this on my own. So I just went out, started a company, and turns out there's quite a lot to learn about running your own company. So it's been a roller coaster all the way, and I've probably done everything the hard way and the wrong way and the long way around, but it's amazing. And you can draw on so much of that now when I'm helping other independent business owners to grow their business.
Yeah. So you've been sort of self-employed for almost 20 years yourself now. And the types of businesses that you work with, are they tending to be the micro business owners, or are they tending to have employees, or what would be your ideal client, or is it a mix?
These days, it tends to be either a small team or a solo operator. Again, that's kind of happened a little bit by accident, but I think it all comes down to the fact that I get the biggest kick out of actually seeing results. And through trial and error over the years, I've realized that the way that I can see the results most quickly is by working with as small a team as possible. Because you'll know yourself, as soon as you're working with a big team, change takes a long time. And that's ultimately why I got fed up with working with corporates, because I was working with bigger and bigger and bigger groups. And just to get them to change one thing in their business took months of meetings and agreements and all this kind of thing. And it just stopped me being able to get the results I wanted to get. So I've realized the smaller the team, the more nimble the business, the quicker I can help them actually get improvements.
Yeah, they don't have to refer to corporate boards or anybody to ask to implement things. It's literally having a word with yourself to decide if that sounds like the best plan to move forwards. So when you help people with their beauty business, where do you start? What's the first sort of inventory or sort of task that you do with either a small business or a single business owner? What's the first point of contact and things that you do with them?
It varies very slightly, but I would say one of the very first things I check with any business that I work with is that they are 100% clear on what I call their who and their what. Now, other people will talk about part of this as like the client avatar and who's your ideal client and all that kind of thing. I think that's half the problem. So when I talk about your who and your what, particularly with beauty businesses, because I think a lot of people, even the people who run them, are confused about what it actually is that they're delivering to their clients. So for example, getting very, very clear on their clients, who they actually want as their clients, everything from the age to the, you know, professional, non-professional, you know, what they do for a living, all these kind of things. Basically, I really believe if you can work with the people you desperately want to work with, then your work becomes fun and it's not an arduous task anymore. So
filtering out and choosing who you want to work with, deciding who your ideal client is based on your preferences.
100%. And having a genuine kind of door policy as to who you let in. So, you know, someone may be able to come and book a treatment with you or have the funds to do so, but, you know, having having that kind of fit so much ingrained in your brain that even though someone's willing to come and book in with you, being able to say to yourself, actually, you know, this person's probably going to bring more negativity than the money that they're going to spend with me, and having the kind of courage to then say, actually, no, you're not really a good fit for me. So understanding your client on a really detailed basis, and knowing that actually half the job of marketing is to repel the people you don't want as much as it is to attract the people that you do, but then understanding your what. And I think this is true for any business, but specifically for beauty businesses, because I've worked with so many who think people come to them for the treatment. And a great example of this is, for example, a facial. Very few people actually want to go for the facial. They want what's on the other side of the facial. They want the better skin. They want the longer, younger looking skin and all those kind of things. They want to save time. They want to feel more confident. And it's getting a lot of business owners to understand that it's the result that people want, not the actual thing that they do. And once you understand
the benefits,
that, the benefits, it's once you market those, you're suddenly talking to a much wider audience, because, and you can apply this to so many different things, but in my world, it's like, you know, if you only talk to people who, for example, want a hydrofacial treatment, which, if you don't know, is a particular brand of facial equipment in the beauty industry. If you're only talking to people about hydrofacial, then your market becomes only people who've heard of that brand. Whereas if you start talking to people about the results that it delivers, suddenly you're talking to this much wider audience to get their attention, and they don't really care what the thing is that you're going to do on them. They just want to know that they can get the results and you've got a plan to do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So once you've gone through the who and the what's the next step that you do with them?
Price, always. 100% price. I think we spoke endlessly about this as well. Value-based pricing. There's a big problem in many industries, but specifically in the beauty industry, specifically for independents. So many of them charge based on, you know, the level that they believe they should be charging at, or based on their self-esteem, or based on what they've spent on facials or whatever treatments, or based on what someone's charging down the road, none of which have any real basis on what they should be charging. I firmly believe, and I'll probably go to my grave saying this, that people should charge based on the value that they're offering their client. And this comes back again to understanding what it is you're delivering, because if you know what you're delivering and you're confident in that delivery, then charging by the hour or charging based on what someone else is charging becomes irrelevant, because you suddenly start selling the result that you're going to deliver, which can be worth vastly more than the £60 an hour you might be charging for a facial.
So how do you work out that value? That's the tricky part, isn't it? How do you actually unpack that and decide what the value is? Because clearly you want to be charging as much as possible and be confident about that. But where do you, what are the things that go into working out the value of that?
I mean, this has been something that I've kind of spent my life trying to put into a formula, and we've got various formulas that we work with it. Obviously we pull in from various things. Like, we obviously need to understand what your costs are in the first place to make sure you're charging more than those. So that's quite an important part of the equation. We also believe that from day one, you should be making a profit. I get asked, I don't do so much speaking on stage now, but whenever I used to, I always used to get the question, you know, I'm just starting up my business. How quickly should I be making a profit? And I'm like, from day one, I think all of your treatments, all of your things that you price, no matter what it is, should have a profit element built in from day one. Because otherwise, what's the point? The next thing is really understanding what you're offering over and above anyone else nearby. So again, another thing, going back to a branded treatment, like, I know I'm picking on hydrofacial here a little bit, but if all you're offering is a hydrofacial treatment and that's what you're naming it as, and that's all you're talking about in your price list, and then a client comes and sees you, but they also see the same hydrofacial treatment 2 miles down the road at a different price, because they're not as educated as you, they don't understand that there might be a whole load of extra things you're doing in your offering that they're not doing down the road. So the only thing they can compare on is the name and the price. And generally, if we think it's the same commodity, we're going to go and pay the lower price. That's just what we're going to do. So it's understanding and itemizing everything you're going to do for your client over and above what anyone else is going to do so that each bit has a value placed on it, and then charging based on that. And then obviously there's the whole selling the entire benefit, charging high value services, talking about the overall result, your signature solution, the whole bunch of stuff that we've created little systems for to teach clients exactly how to leverage what it is they do to build this thing that can then no longer be commoditized and compared. So it's a huge thing, but it's essentially understanding all of the bits of value that you offer to your client over and above anyone else, putting a price on it, and then explaining to your clients in your marketing how each bit is better for them.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And what are some of the biggest challenges that you see small beauty business owners, because obviously that's your niche, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see them facing, and how do you coach them to overcome those challenges?
It's a good question. Really, we tend to think that there are three main things that hold in our world beauty business owners back, but I'm sure it's probably universal of most business owners. And those three things are what we call delivery confidence, or lack of delivery confidence. And that tends to be, it's a function of a number of things, but it really falls into two categories. First of all, how confident are you that you can 100% deliver on your promise to your ideal client every single time? Now, there's all sorts of things that go into that. There's your confidence level, there's your self-esteem, there's your training, there's your price, there's the clients that you're talking to in the first place, all of these different things. But there's equally, we find the flip side of that of, you know, if I actually do become successful, if I actually do get all the clients, how's that going to affect me? You know, how's that going to take away from my time? And am I going to be burnt out? And am I going to be unhappy and all these kind of things? And whilst for years, I didn't believe that self-sabotaging was a thing, I was like, how would anyone go into business, you know, self-sabotaging themselves and not pushing as hard as they could? But then I started to see it more and more and more and realize that this was a thing. So again, we sort of created some systems to basically go, okay, well, here are the three main things. And we think it's a function of your who and your what, your price, and what we call your signature system. Because if you know your signature system backwards, and you go out and you find the right clients and you know exactly what you're promising, and you kind of drop those bits into the jigsaw, then you know if you're dealing with the right client, charging the right amount of money, and you just deliver your signature system, you'll know that they're going to get the result that you're promising and that they want. So that's part of it. The next thing is the flow of clients. You know, it's the biggest challenge for, I guess, every single business out there, is having some reliable mechanism that can just bring you in at least a few leads on a daily basis that you can then talk to, nurture, speak to, find out if they're your ideal client, to the point where you know that they are or they aren't. And then a really simple process to actually bring them in as a client. And for a lot of independent business owners who've never been taught how to do those two things, you know, they may be super passionate about what they do and have all the skills in the world to be able to deliver that solution. But if they've never been shown a simple process to actually generate leads coming in every day, and then a very simple sales process to convert those leads into clients, let's say on a weekly basis, you know, those two bits will break any business straight away, no matter how much passion you've got and confidence in your delivery. So those are really the three key things that we focus on with our clients to ensure that they've got all the clients coming in that they want.
And for small business owners that might be solopreneurs or micro business owners where they are just working by themselves, how important do you think systems and processes are for them when they're a solo business owner?
Essential. Essential, otherwise you're never going to sleep, because you'll be bouncing from one task to another. Every day there'll be some sort of, you know, screaming thing, fire going off in your business that you need to attend to. And if you don't have some systems that you can rely on, and they don't have to be automated, and they don't even have to be technology-based. I think when I talk about systems, specifically with a software background, I think people always think I'm talking about technology. It's not. In fact, one of the things we've done with our business is we've taken it back to being as simple as possible. And we've gone back to something I call the one-page system. And nearly everything we do now, if it can't be fit, if the plan or the structure can't be fit on a single piece of paper, then it's not simple enough. So systems are going to save your life if you ever want to sleep and have no stress as a solo business owner. And the fewer you can have, the better. The fewer things you offer, the better. Honestly, simplicity has become my obsession over the past few years, probably since we worked together. So we now have a rule. If we can't teach something on a single piece of paper, it's already too complicated.
I love that, because I think when you are a small solo business owner, it seems like everybody else is got these complex sort of structures and systems. There's lots of people involved or whatever, and you can often feel a bit less than, and you know, everybody else feels way more and bigger than yourself, and you can feel a little bit inadequate. But I think stripping it all back and making things simple is like the key to a successful business, and I'm a real great believer. Massive. It's vital for a small business owner to have simplicity. And you talked a little bit earlier about this signature system. Could you just explain on that? Is that the one thing that you really get well known for? Is that what you mean by a signature offering?
Yes, absolutely. Going back to the simplicity thing, I think the goal of any business really should be to get to the point where they sell one thing. They sell one thing and they just do it better than anyone else, and they sell the hell out of it. And I think it's not something I do with every client, but we regularly go through their treatment list and go, okay, well, you know, what treatments you've got on there that you actually don't sell very many of or don't make much money from? Let's get rid of them, because anything else that's in there is just cluttering up the things that you really love doing or the things that you do really, really well. And if you imagine a client coming to a price list for your average salon or clinic, there's all these things on there that they're not sure what they are. If they could come to that price list and there was like three things on there, suddenly the decision becomes much easier. If there was a price list and there was one thing on there, it's like, we do this one thing better than anyone else, and we can deliver it, and we know we can get you the result. If you're the right client for that business, then the decision becomes much easier. So yeah, we think do one thing really, really well. And if you do more than one thing, then fine. But if you have a signature system, so anyone can come and talk to you about what is it that you do? This is what, you know, we help insert person here. And this is how we do it, because people want to come to someone who understand their problem, know what they want on the other side of it, and have a plan to put it in place. And that's what we teach people. So we're like, understand your client and what they want, know exactly the words that are going on in their head, that's their problem that they're struggling with now, know what they want instead on the other side of it. And then if you can simply demonstrate that you've got a 4, 5, 6, 7 point plan to get them there, then they don't care what it costs. They don't care how you're going to do it. They just have that confidence that you understand them and you have this plan to put it in place. So our signature solution just becomes that. It becomes not only how you deliver the result, but also how you talk about that in your marketing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If that makes sense.
So if we've got anybody here that's thinking about starting out in the beauty industry or something like that, what would be your tips and tricks for telling somebody if they wanted to get started getting new clients? What would be your sort of top three things that they should get started with if they're thinking about beginning their beauty business?
It's kind of going back to what I've already mentioned, but number one thing, 100% get clear exactly on what clients you want and what it is that you're offering them. And when it comes to the who you want to help, we have a very, very simple, it's a one page worksheet, obviously. But it's a very simple thing. And we ask you three questions on there. If you come up with a type of person that you think you want to work with, whatever that is, mums of kids who've just gone to school, burnt out doctors who, you know, just need to get their life back on track, whatever it is, we always say, ask yourself three questions about them. First of all, can you help them? If you can help them, great. If you can't, then they shouldn't even be on your list to consider. Do you like them? Okay. Do you like these people? Because if you're going to be only focusing and only ideally working with these people, if you don't like them very much, then your job's going to be miserable. So we say, can you help them? Do you like them? They're probably the two most important questions. But then the third one that's equally important is, can they pay what you need to charge? And this is something that I think so many people leave out, and it sounds really mean, but if you want to make a certain amount of money in your business, And I genuinely had this with a client once. They genuinely wanted to help essentially struggling artists with their skin. And I was like, it's a very, very admirable thing that you want to do. But if they're struggling artists with no money and you want to be selling them £2,000 skin programs, doesn't matter how good your marketing is and how much they want it, they don't have the funds to pay in the volume you need to get the clients. So, you know, it's a genuine question. Figure out who you want to help, but ask yourself those three questions. Can you help them? Do you like them? Can they afford to pay you? So I would say get really clear on your who, get really clear on your what it is you actually do for them. Make sure that's what's baked into your marketing. Make sure you're charging the right amount of money. Go backwards, you know, figure out what you want to make, how many hours you're actually aiming to work in your business in a week, delivering whatever it is that you do. And do those maths. I did it for someone literally this morning. They said, oh, I want to make this much, but I want to work this number of days. I was like, okay, well, that's going to mean you're going to be averaging £120 an hour. Do you think that's reasonable? If you do, great. If not, we've got some juggling to do. So yeah, work backwards, figure out what you want to make, how many hours you're prepared to work, and then work out how much you need to charge an hour. And those things together should form the basis of essentially your business plan and what it is you're delivering.
And when it comes to marketing, what do you think are the best routes to market for beauty business owners when they're a small business and just getting started? Do you feel social media is the best outlet, or are there other ones that you'd recommend?
I'm never going to be like, you know, social media is the be all and end all of everything. Obviously, it's here to stay. It's an essential. It's something that I struggle with myself. It doesn't come naturally to me, whether it's a generational thing, I don't know, but it certainly doesn't come natural to me. So again, we've had to build a system for it to work in our business. And coming back to the whole lazy thing, I want to do it as little as I need to, because I don't enjoy it. It's not something that I want to spend my life doing. So we've tried to go, okay, what's the minimum we need to do on social in order to get a result? And we basically find that as long as we're posting consistently, it matters less how much we're posting. It's all about coming up with what you can deliver on a weekly basis and sticking to it is the most important thing. So social is obviously very, very important. There's a function there as well as who are your clients and picking the right social platform for what you're offering and who they are. But we still love the old school methods. We still love, you know, if you have a brick and mortar business, sandwich board outside on the street is just as good to get attention from people because they're physically walking past your business. Whereas on social, it might be great if you've got 10,000 followers, but 9,500 of them might be on the other side of the world. So, you know, posters, going out and speaking in local groups is a great one. Because again, if you understand who your target audience is and you figure out where they hang out, whether that be online, whether it be, you know, in a new mum's class, whether it be at Waitrose, whether it be at the BMW garage, wherever it is, how can you get in front of them? So posters, adverts, local articles, going and talking to groups, all of these things we still value massively as a way of getting your name out there and essentially getting the attention of the people that you want to get.
Yeah, because I think whatever it is you're qualified in, whatever business and service you're offering, unless you have that lifeblood of clients and new clients and stuff, you've got nobody to deliver and create that revenue stream with. So I think being able to master a way to generate leads and get new clients, I think that's really a really vital skill. And I know that that's something you do. Is that something that you teach in your online programs, or is that just through your one-to-one coaching?
No, it's in the online programs. It's in both, to be perfectly honest. We just do them at different levels. The group coaching is essentially for the smaller people who are either just starting out or are struggling to hit even a certain level of income that kind of covers their bills and gives them some kind of fun money and spending money. What we want to do is we want to get people to, we think that the sweet spot we think for a lot of small businesses is about £8,000 a month, because that works out roughly at £100,000. It's not right for everyone. Some people are aiming much higher, but that sort of seems to be the average goal for a very small or a solo business. If we can get you there, then all your bills are paid and you're comfortable and you're earning money, then great. And a lot of clients I work with are happy at that zone, and that's cool, but some people want to go a bit further. So realistically, we teach kind of the same things in the one-to-one stuff, but then it just becomes more bespoke and how it specifically applies to your business and how we can do it on a much bigger scale. But yeah, you're absolutely right. We have a mantra in both of my programs, really. It's leads every day, clients every week. And that's exactly what I think every business should be doing, finding some way to get people's attention so that they're getting those leads daily, nurturing them, having the conversations, doing whatever they need to do, converting them into clients, on a weekly basis.
And what are your thoughts around loyalty and repeat clients and them sort of being a really great source of referrals so that you get more clients? What are your tips on for small business owners to generate sort of referrals, word of mouth referrals from your existing clientele and generating that loyalty?
Well, funnily enough, it'll surprise you, we've got a system for it. We have something that we use and we call it depending on who I'm speaking to, we either call it the VIP referral or we call it the personalized referral scheme. And because we 100% believe that referrals are the cheapest form of client you can get and often the best, because we all know people are friends with like-minded people. So if you've got a client who's brilliant and they're one of your best clients, chances are they're going to know people who are going to be a really good fit as well. So we always leverage referrals, but the old fashioned, hand out loads of business cards with 20% off your first treatment, A, doesn't work. And B, even if it does, brings in the wrong kind of clients, because you've immediately just said, I give discounts to new people who I've never met and have never given me any money, which is totally the wrong message to send out to people. So instead, what we do is we have a process whereby on the third time a new client has been in, so client comes in, they come once, they come twice, they come on the third time. At that third point, we consider them to be a good client or a repeat client, whatever. At that point, we ask them, I'm giving away all my secrets here. At this point, we ask them, do you have anyone that you think would be a great fit for my business in some way, whatever your language around that would be? But what we're not trying to do is just say, here's a bunch of cards, go and give it out to your friends. We specifically ask them to think of a person. Now, this does a number of things. First of all, they picture that person in their mind. Now, obviously, due to wonderful privacy rules and GDPR, we can't say to them, oh, can you give me their email address? So what we do instead is we're like, can you think of a person who would love to come and visit us for a treatment? And the person and our client goes, actually, yeah, Jane would be great. She'd love coming here. So you go, I've got something for Jane. So you disappear off. And this is actually part of the process where you disappear off, go to a drawer, safe, another office, wherever. And you come back with this card. And on the card, you've got space to write Jane's name. So you write Jane's name on there. And it has some really special offer on there. Whatever is the best offer that you can make. Not a discount. Ideally, some sort of treatment upgrade. So you go, I've got a special gift for Jane. So you write Jane's name on it. And you could even write the treat. What would Jane like? Oh, Jane loves massage. Oh, brilliant. Well, I'll tell you what. Jane comes in and she books a 45-minute massage. We'll upgrade her to a 90-minute massage and a free head massage or something. So you write that on there as well. Give that to the client. Now, because they've pictured Jane in their mind, next time they see Jane, they're going to be triggered with this card. And plus, because it's something special that only your best clients can get, this card has a value. So when they give it to Jane, Jane sees it as a free thing. Jane's much more likely to come in because it's personal. It's been thought about. It's from someone that they like and trust as well. So this is something we put in place in as many businesses as we can, because A, it works like a charm. We get like a 70% comeback rate on cards that we give out. There's a few little nuances to it. You've got to treat it in the right way and some bits and pieces. We have a whole program around it. But yeah, referrals, hugely important. Repeat business, hugely important. If you're constantly having to go out and get new clients all the time and burning the money doing that, you're going to run out of money and effort very, very quickly. And if your clients are not coming back as repeat clients, something is broken about your delivery. So figure out what that is and fix that straight away.
That's great. Adam, thank you so much. That was a really great gem to get in before we finish. Thank you. Oh, thanks for sharing all of that. So if our listeners would like to find out more about you and connect, where is the best place for them to go to find you?
You can come and check me out if you're on Instagram. I'm at Beauty Business Secrets. I'm the same on Facebook as well. Probably the best place to find me on Facebook, if you go to Beauty Business Hackers, which is my free group where I do weekly training on all sorts of things to just try and get you a few more clients and a bit more money and all those kind of things as we go on. Or the Beauty Business Podcast is probably the most consistent place that I give out more information.
Great. Thank you. I've loved doing this episode this week, hearing from Adam today. Thank you for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful week ahead. Earn lots of lovely money with the least amount of stress. And until next time, let's catch up again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.